فخذ أربعة من الطير فصرهن إليك ثم اجعل على كل جبل منهن جزءا ثم ادعهن يأتينك سعيا واعلم أن الله عزيز حكيم مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة مئة حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله ثم لا يتبعون ما أنفقوا منا ولا أذى لهم أجرهم عند ربهم لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون قول معروف ومغفرة خير من صدقة يتبعها أذى والله غني حليم
In the name of Allah The All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. And when Abraham said, My Lord, show me how you revive the dead. He said, Do you not believe? He said, Yes, indeed, but in order that my heart may be at rest. He said, Take four of the birds, then cut them into pieces, and place a part of them on every mountain. Then call them, they will come to you, hastening, and know that Allah is Almighty and All-Wise. Those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah, and then do not follow what they have spent with reproaches and affronts, they shall have their reward near their Lord, and they will have no fear, nor will they grieve. An honorable word with pardon is better than a charity followed by a front, and Allah is all-sufficient, most forbearing.
Welcome once again, dear listeners. Let's take a look at what's coming up your way in the next hour. We begin with the latest news. Stay informed with the top headlines and major developments from across the globe. Following the news, immerse yourself in the ocean of dua with Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi. This reflective program explores the rich spiritual traditions of Islamic supplications and ziyarat, drawing from revered collections such as Mafatih al-Jinan. Each episode features insightful commentary on selected prayers, including Dua-i Kumail, Munajat Shabaniya, Dua Abu Hamza Somali, Ziyarat Ashura, shedding light on the meaning and the spiritual guidance they offer. After that, we return to radio productions for another segment of curated content, spanning a wide range of thoughtful and engaging topics. To close the hour, we turn to insights into the Holy Quran with Hujjatul Islam Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi. This program takes listeners to verse by verse through the Quran, offering concise yet profound interpretations that illuminate the divine message and draw out practical lessons for everyday life. Coming up next is news. Please stay with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Portugal says it plans to recognize a Palestinian state as the global recognition of Palestine gathers momentum ahead of the UNGA summit in New York. And Iran slams the Security Council for rejecting a bid to keep sanctions relief for the Islamic Republic, calling any attempt to reimpose sanctions as baseless. Hello and hope you're having a good day. I am Bahman Nouri and this is news from Tehran, Iran. The Israeli regime has launched new strikes on the Gaza Strip, with Gaza City being the main target of the latest attacks as the regime continues with its genocidal war.
The shelling and the bombing are getting closer. It is getting closer. F-16 planes that are striking here and there on the houses, on the seaside, and the battleships in the sea were hitting from all directions. Even the bullets and quadcopters are striking in a random and crazy way. For 1 week, we have been living nights of horror.
The situation is really bad. All night long, the tank was firing shells. There is no one left. Take a look at the camp and see the state of it. Very bad state. We have children, we have women, we have girls, we have women, and I swear to God from yesterday, we have not had any food, and we have no money to leave.
The regime attacked Gaza City using tanks, fighter jets, and drones. Three Palestinians were killed in an Israeli strike that targeted a group of civilians there. Witnesses say regime forces are mobilizing near the heart of Gaza City. Israeli jets also attacked Rafah and Khan Yunis. This comes amid a worsening humanitarian crisis in the besieged territory. The Gaza Health Ministry recorded 5 new deaths from famine and malnutrition, including 2 children. This brings the total number of deaths from malnutrition in the Gaza Strip to over 440. The death toll from the U.S.-Israeli genocide since October 2023 stands at over 65,100. Portugal has announced its intention to recognize a Palestinian state, joining a list of European countries that have made a similar decision as global outcry towards Israeli genocide continues. The Portuguese foreign minister says this country will officially recognize a Palestinian state on Sunday. It comes ahead of a UN General Assembly where around 10 other countries are set to follow suit. Lisbon has said the decision is because of the unprecedented level of Israeli carnage in Gaza, coupled with the regime's continuous annexation of Palestinian lands in the occupied West Bank. So far, 10 out of 27 EU countries have recognized Palestine. Britain, France, and Canada are also among Western countries planning to recognize Palestine at the upcoming UN General Assembly. In South Africa, protesters have gathered at the new Amazon Web Services headquarters in Cape Town to voice their opposition to the company's collaboration with Israel. Beyond condemning Amazon's support for the Israeli regime, activists argue that the company's expanding presence in Africa facilitates the spread of Israeli surveillance and spying across the continent.
Amazon Web Services is complicit in the driving of genocidal tech in the occupied territories. Shows a particular a combination that simply cannot be ignored. That these multinational corporations are enacting not just genocidally, but in the same mindset as colonial powers did, as the Dutch East India Company did.
The Israeli government gave Google and Amazon a contract worth $1.2 billion called Project Nimbus, and that has enabled the Israeli government to have endless data services. They have been able to get surveillance and technology, AI technology, to surveil Palestinians. There are a couple of programs baked into that, like Lavender and Where's Daddy?
The Israeli occupation force, okay. They are one of the most tech-hungry, you know, armies in the world. They use the computing power that companies like Amazon provide, you know, and the kind of algorithms that they help fine-tune on these things to target where the bombs are going to fall. So they are directly an enabling technology. I mean, just like, you know, a tank cannot run without petrol. This modern warfare cannot run without this high technology infrastructure that companies like Google and Amazon and Microsoft are providing.
The Israeli regime has heightened security measures in the occupied Palestinian territories after a car incident in Tel Aviv that left at least one Israeli dead. Israel's Channel 12 has reported the incident as a suspected car ramming attack. The driver reportedly fled the scene, and a search is underway to arrest him. Israelis inside and outside the occupied territories have faced multiple attacks since the outbreak of the regime's genocidal war in Gaza in 2023. On Friday, a man was arrested in the Netherlands for allegedly attempting to set fire to the Israeli embassy in The Hague. A day earlier, a Jordanian truck driver shot and killed two Israeli soldiers at the main border crossing between the occupied West Bank and Jordan. Let us now cross over to Ramallah and talk to Nekah Hamed, our correspondent, for an update on the situation and the latest developments in the region. Nekah, very good to see you again, and good morning to you. What are the latest?
Good morning to you too. Well, over here in the occupied West Bank, the loop of violence is still going on. We can start by the major raid that has been taken on inside Al-Khalil province. The entire city of Al-Khalil have been under attack since the hours of the morning. We are talking about almost 200 arrests from inside Al-Khalil. In the villages of Abu al-Azja and Rabut to the south of Al-Khalil, 70 Palestinians have been abducted, and they are still under, until this moment, being captured by the Israeli forces, who are performing a large raid towards that area. Also in Beit Umar and to the north of Al-Khalil, at the Shiuch and Sayyid, and we are talking about tens of arrests among Palestinians. Of course, we have seen such actions in other cities, and in other villages, where hundreds of Palestinians being detained, and later they be released. But after they are captured for hours, they are fieldly interrogated, they are intimidated, they are humiliated, and most of the time they are severely beaten, to the extent that the Palestinian ambulance needs to take many of them towards the hospital, and so on. So this is a policy for the Israeli forces while raiding a Palestinian city over here, and this is what's happening now in Al-Khalil. And speaking of Al-Khalil, it's quite noticeable that since 2 weeks now, we are, of course, not to mention what's happening before that, but since 2 weeks now, we are talking about a major efforts by the Israeli regime to separate entirely the provenance of Al-Khalil. The significance of Al-Khalil has two main points, is that it is the largest provenance in the West Bank, and it's considered to be the economic lifeline for the entire West Bank. So the Israeli forces are trying to separate Al-Khalil entirely from the rest of the West Bank, either by checkpoints or by newly installed iron gates, just like we have seen in the last couple of weeks. Almost 100 new gates have been installed. More than 60% of them are for Al-Khalil. For Al-Khalil alone. So we're talking about a large number. Moving on to the West Bank, other raids happened throughout the West Bank. Over here in Ramallah, a confrontation happened between the Palestinians and raiding IOF forces to Al-Amhari refugee camp. Also in the northern part of the West Bank, Jenin and Tulkarem are still on the same situation, where the Israeli military operation, the Iron Wall, is still taking place over there. Nightly raids, arrests, and we are still seeing the Israeli bulldozers working their way through Jenin refugee camp, Antul Kerem, and the Nur Shams refugee camp. So the situation has not became better over there. Another phase of aggression that we are looking at is the settler violence as the Israeli settlers are on a daily basis making harassments and attacks towards the Palestinians now, as I'm speaking to you. An attack is being done by the Israeli settlers towards the families, towards the Palestinians in the village of Shalal Ain al-Oja to the north of Ariha. And also the Israeli settlers again attacked Masafer Yatta, causing many injuries among the Palestinians. And work the bulldozers and the machines that are related to those settlers are still working on the land to expand settlements over there or to establish new outposts, especially in the area of Masafer Yatta. One last headline to talk about is that all of the eyes and all of the concentration are waiting for Monday, September 22nd. Of course, the General Assembly, the United Nations General Assembly, which many European countries have declared that they will recognize Palestine as a state. And now, since the morning, Portugal have also stated that they will be joining those European countries. Over here on the ground, it's not only about recognition of the Palestinian state, but all of the West Bank are waiting for the actions that the Israel Minister Bezalel Smotrich and the Prime Minister of the Israeli regime Benjamin Netanyahu have talked about. That is, if these countries press ahead with their recognition, the entire West Bank will be put under the Israeli direct occupation, and it will be annexed officially. And so this is the situation over here in the West Bank for the last 12 hours.
Thank you so much, Naka, for the update. That was Naka Hamed joining us from Ramallah. The Committee to Protect Journalists has reported that 31 journalists and media workers were killed in Israeli airstrikes on a newspaper complex in Yemen last week. The September 10th strikes targeted offices of the newspaper 26th of September and Yemen Daily in the capital Sana'a. At least 22 journalists were also injured in the attacks. The regime's army claimed that it had struck military targets belonging to the Ansarullah resistance movement. The attack marked the deadliest single strike on the press since 2009, when 32 journalists were killed in an attack in Philippines, southern province of Maguindanao. Since the beginning of its genocidal war on Gaza in 2023, Israel has also killed hundreds of journalists in the Palestinian territory and Lebanon. The UN Security Council has rejected a bid to keep sanctions relief for Iran, paving the way for renewed UN sanctions within days. Iran has slammed the move, calling any attempt by the European trio to reimpose sanctions baseless and a direct assault on international law.
Iran implemented the deal in full and in good faith. No other nation has ever subjected itself to such rigorous, intrusive verification by IAEA. We kept our words, the EU, ETA, and US did not. It was the United States that unilaterally tore up the agreement in 2018, imposing sanctions in open defiance of this council. It was the E3 that failed to meet their obligation, hiding behind empty promises while quietly following Washington's lead and instructions.
Iran's ambassador to the UN, Amir Saeed Iravani, emphasized that in a striking display of hypocrisy, the European trio and the US claimed that Tehran must be punished for measures it took only years after enduring their violations. The three European countries triggered the snapback process last month, accusing Iran of breaching uranium limits set by the 2015 nuclear deal. That mechanism, which is set to expire on October 18th, allows any JCPOA participant to restore UN sanctions unless the Council votes to stop it. If no deal is reached by September the 28th, international sanctions suspended under the nuclear deal will automatically return. Iran has strongly condemned France, Germany and the UK for a provocative and unlawful action at the UN Security Council. In a statement, Iran's foreign ministry warned that if the move leads to the return of sanctions, the full responsibility will lie with the US and its European allies. The ministry said the push to revive sanctions lacked consensus and faced serious opposition from several council members, calling it a blow to diplomacy and a threat to the global non-proliferation regime. Meanwhile, Iran's foreign minister has held a phone call with the director general of the International Atomic Energy Agency. The minister criticized the, quote, politicized atmosphere at the IAEA Board of Governors meeting, stressing that Iran's cooperation with the agency remains within international regulations. He said Iran does not accept any political action or unfair pressure that could lead to an escalation of tensions. Ukraine says its drones have targeted a major oil refinery deep inside the Russian territory for the second time this week. Russian residents in Saratov have reported hearing at least 11 explosions during the night. The major refinery is nearly 600 kilometers east of the front line in Ukraine. Ukrainian forces also launched a series of drone attacks on Russia's Kursk and Belgorod regions. Meanwhile, Ukrainian officials reported that Russian drone and rocket strikes killed three civilians in Vasilyevka and Polohivka. Russian forces also seized two villages in Ukraine's Donetsk and Zaporozhye regions. The conflict, which began in February 2022, has triggered a prolonged and destructive war across the region. Moscow has cited increasing NATO military presence near its borders as the root causes of the conflict. Estonia says three Russian fighter jets have violated its airspace for 12 minutes in what the Eastern European country called an unprecedentedly brazen incursion. Estonia's government said three MiG-31 warplanes entered its airspace in a very clear act of provocation. The government also said it has summoned the Russian envoy to lodge a protest and deliver a note. Estonian Foreign Minister Margus Tsahkna separately called for a strong response from NATO. Just over a week ago, Poland also said around two dozen Russian drones violated its airspace. Moscow rejected that claim as a fabrication to derail Ukraine peace talks. And with that, we bring this news bulletin to an end. Thank you so much for staying with us.
Can we not see how the planets look like diamonds in the sky? And everything on earth was created for you and I. Can we not see? Right.
Ocean of Dua.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of the Ocean of Dua. And in this version of the program, we are trying to cover some of the names of the Almighty Allah that are recommended to be recited to invoke Him for obtaining benefits. So stay with us.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum wal'an alahum ajma'in.
Dear listeners, among the other names of the Almighty Allah to be recited while we are invoking Him is Al-Muhit, and it means He who encompasses everything. He is everywhere, and He knows everything, and He sees everything. He is all-knowing and all-seeing, and also all-hearing. So He is called Muhit. So wherever you go, you cannot escape from Him. Also, we have been ordered to recite this dua many times regularly. Al-Muhit, He who encompasses everything. Another name of the Almighty Allah is the Noble, or Al-Majid. Al-Na'im is another name of the Almighty Allah. This name means the bounteous, since the Almighty Allah is spreading His favors everywhere. So to thank Allah for the bounties He has bestowed on us, we have been ordered to recite this dua, or this name of the Almighty Allah, Al-Na'im. Another name which is closely related to this one is An-Nafi', or the Helpful. You may have heard, dear listeners, that during the month of Rajab, this name of the Almighty Allah is recited more. Of course, all the things we are mentioning in this program, dear listeners, have some different conditions to be met if we want to achieve the results. But whatever happens, reciting these names of the Almighty Allah will bring more the attraction of the Almighty Allah, and we can gain more benefits, especially while we are invoking Him and reciting dua. Among the names is An-Nur,
which is both the name of the Almighty Allah and also the name of the Holy Quran. The name An-Nur means the light, and everything in the universe is known and understood by the light.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy of God will come towards you. Paradise, thank you Allah, now that we're here, feeling so good, about all the things that we went through, knowing that God speaks with us too, it's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever.
The ocean of dua.
Al-Qahhar. Al-Qahhar means the conqueror. And this name is related to the meaning of all-powerful. So these were some of the names of the Almighty Allah to be recited while we are trying to invoke Him if we want to gain more benefits and advantages from Him. Another name of the Almighty Allah to be recited while we're invoking Him is the name Al-Qabid. The word Al-Qabid doesn't have a one-word equivalent in English, but it could be translated into the one who takes possession and holds. Like you can imagine someone who is holding something in his or her hand. In this case, the person or the possessor of that thing is called Qabid. Also, among the names of the Almighty Allah is Al-Qawi, which is the strong. Another name of the Almighty Allah, which is closely related to one or two of the previous names of Him, is Al-Qayyum. Al-Qayyum, dear listeners, means the self-subsisting. So knowing the name and the meaning of this name, you already may guess that reciting this name regularly would bring prosperity. Though there has been mentioned some other benefits from reciting this dua, which is purification of the heart and mind, of course. Of course, all the things we are mentioning in this program, dear listeners, have some different conditions to be met if we want to achieve the results. But whatever happens, reciting these names of the Almighty Allah will bring more the attraction of the Almighty Allah, and we can gain more benefits, especially while we are invoking Him and reciting dua. The other name of the Almighty Allah that we're going to discuss in this program is Al-Qadir. Al-Qadir means the omnipotent. And of course, by believing in this name and knowing that the Almighty Allah is capable of doing anything, will enable us to overcome powerful enemies. And of course, it is useful for the outward enemy, but it could also be recited. And we have been ordered to recite this name, Al-Qadir, the Omnipotent, to strengthen our hearts, but on condition of believing in this name, and of course, regular and constant recitation.
والحمد لله على طول أناته في غضبه وهو قادر على ما يريد الحمد لله خالق الخلق باسط الرزق فالق الإصباح ذي الجلال والإكرام والفضل والإنعام الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى.
Another name of the Almighty Allah is Al-Qadim. Al-Qadim means the eternal first. This means that the Almighty Allah was the beginner of the beginners. And in fact, you cannot find a time in the past that the Almighty Allah wasn't existent. He has been from the past, he is the eternal first, and he will be existent forever. So his name is Al-Qadim, the eternal first. And the last name of the Almighty Allah to be mentioned in this program, Al-Qarib, or the near, is another name of the Almighty Allah, which is specially recommended for our du'as and our invokings. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program as well. We ask the Almighty Allah to brighten our hearts with the light of faith. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Life is full of choices. Choose the best option. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
On April 22nd, gunmen killed at least 26 people and injured a dozen others
in the Himalayan region of Jammu and Kashmir, marking a rare attack on tourists in an area long scarred by terror and insurgency. The massacre targeted travelers at a popular tourist destination in Pahalgam, in the mountainous Anantnag district, making it the worst civilian assault in the region in recent years. A little-known militant group called the Resistance Front claimed responsibility, citing dissatisfaction with the outsiders settling in the region and causing demographic changes, something totally different from what the locals think. While authorities investigate, tensions are escalating between India and Pakistan. Following the attack, Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi cut short his two-day visit to Saudi Arabia after meeting with Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman.
Today, from the soil of Bihar, I say to the whole world, India will identify, track, and punish every terrorist and their backer. We will pursue them to the ends of the earth. India's spirit will never be broken by terrorism. Terrorism will not go unpunished.
India swiftly blamed Pakistan for supporting militancy in Kashmir, without publicly providing evidence, prompting a wave of diplomatic retaliations as Pakistan dismisses these accusations as baseless.
We have absolutely no involvement. Till now, there is no proof of any involvement of Pakistan in this sad incident. Loss of innocent lives, and in the aftermath of this incident, they have started a campaign of terror in the valley. Innocent people are being picked up and killed in mock this kind of encounters, and the houses are being destroyed. And there's a reign of terror which prevails today in the occupied, not that it was not there before, but it has intensified in the last 4 or 5 days.
Historically, militant attacks have caused severe spikes in tension between the two nuclear-armed neighbors, both claiming the Himalayan region in full. Kashmir has been at the heart of a violent territorial dispute for over 70 years. The region is one of the world's most dangerous flashpoints, divided by the line of control, a de facto border separating Indian and Pakistani-controlled territory. After this deadly attack, relations between India and Pakistan have deteriorated further. The incident has prompted retaliatory measures, fueling fears of renewed military conflict. Some experts suggest that these tit-for-tat actions are driven by governments seeking to project strength to their populations.
They are both trying to match each other in terms of telling their own domestic constituencies that we will give a very strong rebuff to them. This is a war rhetorics, but war action would be very, very cautious, I would say. And both the sides are absolutely clear that it is not going to benefit them in the long run.
All but one of the 26 tourists killed in the April 22nd attack were Indian citizens. In response, New Delhi quickly accused Pakistan, downgraded diplomatic ties, and suspended its participation in the Indus Water Treaty, a vital water-sharing agreement between India and Pakistan that's been in place since 1960. This treaty is regarded as one of the rare diplomatic successes amid the tumultuous relationship between the two countries. The Indus River system, which supports hundreds of millions of livelihoods across Pakistan and northern India, originates in Tibet, flowing through China and Indian-controlled Kashmir before reaching Pakistan. Its vast waters are a crucial resource for both nations, and the treaty governs their equitable sharing. Meanwhile, heightened military activity and security measures in Pakistan have restricted farmers from accessing their fields, leaving crops unharvested. These restrictions, enacted for safety reasons, have raised concerns among farmers about the security of their harvests. The border region has a history of disruptions due to military escalations, with local farmers often suffering the most. Additionally, India has closed a key border crossing, further limited visas for Pakistani citizens, and expelled military, naval, and air advisors from the Pakistani High Commission in New Delhi. Pakistan has denied involvement in the attack and warned that any attempts to divert or stop Pakistan's water supply would be considered an act of war. In retaliation, Pakistan announced it would suspend trade with India, close its airspace, and expel Indian diplomats. Islamabad described India's measures as unilateral, unjust, politically motivated, extremely irresponsible, and without legal basis.
India seems determined to initiate a war, but it can be a limited war, can't be full-scale war because both countries are nuclear power, nuclear forces. So there are very, very feeble chances that a full-scale war can be initiated, can be started. But definitely border skirmishes and border violations are expected, and India is currently doing that.
On April 30th, Pakistan's information minister, Ataullah Tarar, claimed that credible intelligence indicated India plans to launch a military strike soon.
Pakistan has credible intelligence that India intends carrying out military action against Pakistan in the next 24 to 36 hours on the pretext of baseless and concocted allegations of involvement in the Pahalgam incident. Indian self-assumed hubristic role of judge, jury, and executioner in the region is reckless and vehemently rejected. Pakistan has been the victim of terrorism itself and truly understands the pain of this scourge. We have always condemned terrorism in all its forms and manifestations anywhere in the world. Being a responsible state, Pakistan open-heartedly offered a credible, transparent, and independent investigation by a neutral commission of experts to ascertain the truth. Unfortunately, rather than pursuing the path of reason, India has apparently decided to tread the dangerous path of irrationality and confrontation, which will have catastrophic consequences for the complete region and beyond.
All eyes now turn to how Delhi and Islamabad will respond, with analysts fearing the risk of escalation. The future stability of South Asia hangs in the balance. Whether the region moves toward further conflict or cool heads prevail will not only shape the fate of the subcontinent, but could have far-reaching implications for global security.
Mountains of Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, welcome to another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you, and in this edition of the program, we'll have a look at the contents of Surah Al-Ankabut, or Chapter Spider, the 29th chapter of the Holy Quran. So, brothers and sisters, we have reached the 12th verse of Surah Al-Ankabut. Let's listen to this verse and we'll be back for our discussion.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
وقال الذين كفروا للذين آمنوا اتبعوا سبيلنا ولنحمل خطاياكم وما هم بحاملين من خطاياهم من شيء إنهم لكاذبون.
And those who disbelieve say to those who believe, follow our way and we will carry your sins. But they will not carry anything of their sins. Indeed, they are liars.
So, dear listeners, this verse is pointing to one example of the weak and haughty logics of the polytheists, which exist actually among a vast group too. Even just now in our society and around us, we can see. So that's why I invite you to listen to this verse carefully, because it is really widespread among us. So, the verse actually says, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who disbelieve say unto those who believe, اتَّبِعُوا سَبِيلَنَا, follow our path, وَلْنَحْمِلْ خَطَايَاكُمْ, and we will certainly bear the burden of your sins. وَمَا هُمْ بِحَامِلِينَ مِنْ خَطَايَاهُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ, and they shall not be the bearers of anything of their sins. إِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ, verily, they are liars. So what we understand, first and foremost, we have to say, that in order to invite and encourage others to do mischief and wrong, the deviated people and the deviated ones often say, if it has any sin, we will carry the burden of that sin. So, that assured, you will not have anything. We take the responsibility. We actually bear the burden of your sins. Just be with us. Just do whatever we do. Just stay with us and accompany us. While no one can undertake the sin of another one when it comes to the day of reckoning, when it comes to the Almighty Allah. So, today, we see many seductive people that at the time of invitation to a wrong action, they claim, they say, if it has any sin, they bear its sin. But we know that none can bear the burden of anyone's sin. Why? Because everybody is created as a free entity. Everybody has the power of choice. Everybody has got this choice unto himself, that he can choose anything he wants, but at the very same time, he has to bear the responsibility of the different choices he makes. So, in principle, this thing is not rational. Why? Because Allah is just and he does not punish anyone for the crime of another one. So, if I say, if I want to invite another one to do mischief, to be among my group, and I invite him and I tell him that I will burden your sin, even if I claim so, the Almighty Allah will not punish me because it's not fair, because I have not done so. Of course, I have done the action of actually misleading others, and I will be punished for that. But for the very action that somebody else did, I will not be punished. And this is what a fair, actually, trial will look like. Let us have a break and we'll be back with the rest of our discussion regarding the verse.
وما هم Brothers and sisters, we were saying that there is a widespread weak logic among some of the polytheists and some of the mischief makers on earth, that they invite the righteous ones, invite the people in the society to be with them, to accompany them, to be among them in their path towards absolute destruction and khasara, but they say, وَلْنَحْمِلْ خَطْوَيَاكُمْ, we will bear the burden of your sins. But the fact is, وَمَا هُمْ بِحَامِلِينَ مِنْ خَطْوَيَاهُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ, not even an ounce of their sins will be carried by them. They will not be the bearers of any kind of sin. Why? Because the Almighty Allah is just, and He will not punish anyone for the crime of another one. And besides, with these baseless words, the responsibility of a person for his deeds does not go away. And again, that which some short-minded persons imagine these meanings do not decrease aught from the man's punishment. That is why no court heeds this kind of word that so-and-so has undertaken its sin. If I were to be in the court and stand in the trial and claim that somebody else said, I will bear the responsibility and I will bear the burden of your sins, so go kill somebody else, they will not accept. But this participation does not decrease our responsibility. So that's why in the next sentence of the verse, the Quran explicitly says, وَمَا هُمْ بِحَامِلِينَ مِنْ خَطَايَاهُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ, they shall not be the bearers of anything of their sins. مِنْ شَيْءٍ, not even a simple, small sin. إِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ, verily they are liars. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this episode. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care. Goodbye.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality, youth, Eastern tales, roundtable discussions, culture, politics, all produced by IRIB English Radio.
greetings, dear listeners, and a sincere thank you for joining us here on Iran Radio. We begin with another segment of radio productions. Next, we present Olema's speech. In this program, you'll hear excerpts from the original Farsi and Arabic lectures of esteemed Islamic and Shia scholars and authorities, accompanied by English translation. It's a unique opportunity to hear directly from the scholars who shape our understanding of faith and practice. Then Radio Productions returns with more engaging content. Concluding this hour is Minbar. Up next is time for another segment of Radio Productions. Please stay with us.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked.
The whole